I know we're going to have a reception after the talk, so I know everyone's excited to see each other, and we have a lot to talk about. So let me just start with our introductions. This is our sixth event in the Mellon Cultural Prehistory of Environmentalism Seminar, which is a seminar conducted, co-sponsored by Rob Watson, Claire McKecker, and myself, which is to encourage a dialogue, an interdisciplinary dialogue about environmental study in the humanities. One brief announcement, our next lecture, unfortunately, is going to be canceled, so Timothy Morton is not able to come to campus. But what we've decided to do is to hold a roundtable, bringing together various faculty in the humanities who are working on environmental studies together. And we think that'll probably be maybe Wednesday, June 3rd. So that's what's in the works. So instead of the Timothy Morton talk, we'll have a kind of dialogue about what's happening on campus and encourage discussion between disciplines. And if you've missed any of the lectures, the six that we've had so far, they're up on the website as podcasts. So if you're interested, if you missed anyone, they're all on there. Lisa Padovicini-Gieberts is not entirely up, but most of it is up. So but just be patient. We're kind of working through the technology. So I'm very happy to introduce Jennifer Wenzel, who's a very recently tenured professor in the Department of English Language and Literature at the University of Michigan Ann Arbor. Professor Wenzel's publications span the vast regions of Africa and South Asia. She's published articles on petromagic realism in Nigerian literature, on two articles on the historicity of the forests in Bengali writer Masud Devi's short fiction, and an article called Anti-Imperialist Nostalgia, which is about literature from and of the Congo. Her new book, which is forthcoming and already on the website of Chicago, University of Chicago Press, is called Bulletproof: Afterlives of Anti-Colonial Prophecy in South Africa and Beyond. And today she will be taking on the planet and post-colonial studies. Please join me in welcoming Professor Jennifer Wenzel.
Thank you, Liz. At Michigan, it's customary for speakers to thank their audience for coming out despite the weather. It's pretty, so nobody should have to go to a talk, or it's awful, and nobody should have to go to a talk. I suspect that's not what people do here, so thank you for coming, regardless of whatever else it is that keeps people from coming to talks. So let me dispel from the outset whatever mystery, opacity, or irrational exuberance is contained in my title and tell you what I'm interested in thinking about here. What happens when eco-criticism or environmental studies meets post-colonial theory? How does contemporary concern about planetary ecological crisis intersect with post-colonial studies' interest in political, economic, social, and epistemic inequality on a global scale? If post-colonialism is thought to be a discourse in decline, what role do questions of nature play in its past and its endangered future? I've just begun to articulate these questions as I imagine a new book project, which at this early stage is titled Reading for the Planet: World Literatures and Environmental Crisis, which will consider whether the Earth or planet in environmentalism is the same as the world in world literature or the globe in globalization discourse. I hope to move beyond the superficial ecological metaphorics of Pascal Casanova's discussion of the global circulation of what she calls natural resources in world literary space, or Franco Moretti's distinction between waves and trees as models for the dissemination of genres. Despite these metaphors, such recent reformulations of world literature have yet to engage seriously with questions of planetary ecological crisis or global environmental citizenship. At this point, I have many questions and few answers. What I'm presenting today is very much a work in progress, speculative and suggestive not least of the limits of my knowledge and thinking, rather than abstracted from a longer, well-articulated argument. About the second part of my title for today, Caution, Progress Narratives Ahead, I should note that its warning about the promise of a better future around the bend has a rather improbable generic structure, that of a road sign. And I'm sorry that my PowerPoint turned out more lemon yellow than road sign yellow, but that was the idea. I keep thinking back to a day in Martinique, driving on a scenic road that winds through the hilly, volcanic, rainforested region at the center of the island. The stunningly beautiful road verging on tropical, sublime, rather than picturesque, was deserted, devoid of traffic. A good thing, too, because it was in very poor repair, with gaping craters and piles of rocks, boulders, really, that had fallen into the road. I was holding my breath, alternately because the landscape was so beautiful and the road so frightening. Thus it came as a certain kind of relief to encounter a road sign that even I, sans French, could make out very clearly. Danger de mort. Danger of death. Caution. Road closed ahead. The road sign confirmed my own sense that one should not try to go further to make progress on this perilous road. The road sign in Martinique warning of the danger of death is certainly less equivocal than my own monitory title, Caution, Progress Narratives Ahead, by suggesting that one ought to be on guard against promises of a better future on the horizon. My title speaks to what I have found most disturbing, even at this early stage of considering the emergent intersections of environmental and post-colonial studies. The disturbing thing is this, that after 30 years or more of critiquing a received narrative in which Europe or the West spread the good news of Christianity or civilization or modernity or markets or whatever to the rest of the world, post-colonial studies must now confront yet another progress narrative, the progress narrative of an environmentalism that promises that the West can save the planet once again by disseminating a new gospel, what we might call the gospel of green. It will be no surprise, given my use of the metaphor of the road sign, to signpost my own argument here, that I believe that such narratives of the future demand that we proceed with caution. Before examining some examples of this new, or dare I say, recycled progress narrative, I want to offer you some account of my own trajectory through the fields of postcolonial studies and eco-criticism, in order to reflect on why I found this epiphany particularly disturbing.